this afternoon is important in the house of God. We thank God for you. We thank God that you didn't think it robbery to come out to worship with us. And we just thank God for all that he's doing. And we thank God for the brother I met from California. Amen. All the way from San Diego. A little colder here than it is in San Diego. We thank God for having you with us. We thank God for all of you being in the midst this afternoon. And amen. You know, as I was praying and considering the word of God, as always, I always get two messages. Amen. I don't know why God does it that way, but I don't question him. I just do it. Amen. To try to find out what is the mind of God. Because we're living, the Bible calls this perilous time. These are dangerous times. These are challenging times. And the greatest challenge is not so much the physical, but it is the spiritual. Because the scripture lets us know that the devil is on an all-out warpath because he knows his days are numbered and that his time is short. So Revelation said, and he poured out his wrath upon the church. So it's so important that we do not lose our focus. Amen, and allow ourselves to be sidetracked by all of the events that's taking place. The scripture says, David said, I was young, and now I am old, and never have I seen the righteous forsaken. Now, if we stop right there, if you're living for God, and you're doing the best you can for God, God has promised you that he will be with you. Amen. Amen. He didn't say when we go through things. He said, but even when you're going through it, he said, I'll be with you. Amen. Isaiah said, when you go through the midst of the fire, God said, I will be with you. Even when you go through the flood of great waters, God said, I will be with you. So we don't look at everything that's happening. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. And certainly this is a day and time where there's so much happening. There are different events unfolding. And the Bible calls these the last days. And scripture is being fulfilled all around us. But if you're in the will of God, can we say the will of God? Oh, the will of God. That's the safest place to be in this whole world is in the will of God. Because when you're in the will of God, God says, I got your back. Amen. And there's no weapon that is formed against you that shall. Now, the scripture never said the weapons won't form. But it said they won't prosper. Amen. And so many times we get in church, we think everything's going to be all right. We're not going to have challenges. We have challenges, but the challenges are never intended to overthrow us, but they're intended for God to show that he is a way maker. Anybody know that God can make a way? I said, anybody know that God can make a way? Hallelujah. People might fail you. I'll let you know, but God never fails. And we bless the Lord for that. Amen. We thank God for my wife. Amen. Looks good in her hat. Ain't she looking good in her hat? Think of all you ladies that got on hats. I'm from down south. We always wear hats. So I'm kind of partial to hats. I don't see what like two or three out there. But praise God anyway. Amen. We just thank God for that. We thank God for keeping her in their health and strength. And we just thank God for all of you. We thank God for the elders, the ministers, the deacons. You know, a lot of times we thank God for everybody. We thank God for the saints. Come on, saints, give yourselves a hand. Come on, saints, give yourselves a hand. Amen. It's so important that we have saints in the house of God. Let us stand at this time for our scripture reading. Let us stand for our scripture reading. And how many know you're blessed? How many know you're blessed? You know, one of the problems God had with the children of Israel after he delivered them out of Egypt. After he blessed them, when they got to their challenges, they began to murmur and complain. Amen. God had an issue with that because the scripture said they were overthrown in the wilderness because they murmured and complained as though God was not in charge. But there is no God like Jehovah. The scripture said they began to even question God's power, God's authority. They said, can God? Anybody know that God can? Then give God a wave off. If you know God can, just give God a wave off. Hallelujah. Man can, but I bless the Lord that God can. Amen. Our scripture reading is going to come today from the third chapter of Malachi. The third chapter of Malachi, amen. We're going to read verses 6 through 11 of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book before the New Testament. Amen. If you have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Verse 6 read, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of the ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we bless you. And Lord, we thank you for being in the house of the Lord. We thank you this afternoon for those of us that are here that have a mind to seek after God. Lord, we thank you for those of us that have a mind, hallelujah, just to be still and to hear a word from thee. Now, Lord, we know that without you we can't do nothing. Lord, all our labor and effort is in vain except you be with us. Lord, even the watchman can't wash the house if you're not with us. So we ask you to send the word. Lord, send the word to search every heart right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, even as we stand in your presence, Lord, as we acknowledge you at this time, Lord, you know every need before we ask. So we're asking you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, to send the word. Lord, your word said you sent your word and it healed. You sent your word and delivered. Lord, you sent your word and it set free. Lord, send the word. And for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Can we say, send the word? Anybody want to hear from God?
Yes.
I don't know about you. I don't want to hear from me. I just want to hear from God. Amen. I want God to speak to my needs. Amen. And actually, I've been studying a lot of the book of Malachi. I was actually reading the scripture the other day, and the Lord said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to teach on the whole book of Malachi. Amen. So I'm going to do that with the help of the Lord starting on Wednesday, because Malachi is a very pivotal book in the Bible. You know, if Malachi almost mirrors the spiritual climate of America today. And the book of Malachi is so pivotal in this. After God spoke with Malachi, he didn't speak again for 400 years. Okay. Listen, God spoke through Malachi the prophet during the time of Nehemiah, and then he was silent for 400 years. And the issue that he challenged through Malachi the prophet was their spiritual decadence. Spiritually, how they were going away from God. And if we're going to get into that, for those that want to know more about Malachi, starting Wednesday, Lord willing, because we can't do anything unless God grants us the permission. We're going to go through Malachi because that's pivotal. Because after Malachi speaks, the word of God said nothing for 400 years. Amen. God was trying to get his people to come back. Amen. But verse 6 reads, "For I am the Lord and I am the Lord and I. So our message today is God has not changed. God has not changed. We live in a time and an era and a period in our lives where things are changing every day. People change. Religions are changing. Education is changing, especially with this new Common Core. Everything is changing. But God never changes. God is the only thing that we can count on that remains the same. Amen. There are times, even people in relationships, the people in relationships will change. Amen. Some of us have been employed at the same place for many years. And even in employment, things change. But God never changes. And if I'm going to be involved with anything, I'm going to be involved with something that never changes. The scripture says he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. So if God never changes, and if things are changing, who's changing them? It certainly is not God. But God tells Malachi, he said, I change not. And because I don't change, even though he was disturbed with their spiritual condition, he said, if you just do what I ask you to do, he said, you will not be consumed. Verse 7 said, even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. Now, a lot of times we feel as though God is not doing what God has said he will do. God never changes. I believe it's Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says, God cannot lie. And if God says something, he says certainly bring it to pass. So God cannot lie. He said, but from the days of your fathers, hallelujah, he said, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. God said, now I made you a promise that you won't be consumed. He said, but I need you to do something. He said, I need you to return unto me. He said, and I will return unto you. Now the question is, were they obedient to what God asked them to do? If they were obedient, God certainly would not have been silent for God to be quiet for 400 years, there had to be some serious spiritual condition that was going on. So for 400 years, God did not say a word through prophet. God didn't say a word through vision. God didn't say a word through dream. Why? Because God's people had gone away from him. And he implored or beseeched them. He said, return unto me. And he said, and I will return unto you. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. Y'all gonna be quiet. Alright, thank you. We do quiet. Amen. He said, if you get quiet, that's right. I just say preach. I know we might be a little slow for the turkey and all that other stuff, but how many want to hear a word from God? Amen. I said, y'all, don't get quiet on me. I always say, y'all, I'm from where? I'm from down south. We don't have no quiet churches down south. Amen. We believe in making a joyful noise unto the Lord. So when y'all get quiet, I have to go down south with y'all. I just have to go down south to liven it up. Amen. But I know, we live in challenging times. And there are many times we come to church. We're not quiet because we're not in it. We're quiet because we want to hear from God. Right? So I'm just going to. So I want you all to hear from God. But can you imagine the spiritual condition that exists with God's people that he didn't speak for them for 400 years? Amen. That's like six or seven generations passed before God. Almost, if they do generations like they did in the Bible, every 40 years was a generation. So that means for 10 generations, God didn't say a word. Well, why didn't God speak? You ever get into some of those situations and you say, Lord, I'm trying to get a word from the Lord. I want God to speak to me in my circumstances, but I haven't heard anything. Well, the problem is not God, because God does not change. So if we're in a place and we don't hear a word from God, the fault certainly is not in God. Amen, but it's in us. So he goes on and says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. He says, ye are cursed with a... So when you don't pay your tithe and offering, you're cursed with a curse. Now, I know the new church says you don't have to pay tithes and offerings because that's the Old Testament. Right? Anybody ever heard that? The Old Testament says you don't have to pay your tithe and offering. But Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, he gets on them. He said, you pay your tithes of mint and aloes and cotton. Well, he said, but you omitted the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. He said, now these you ought to have done. He said, but don't you leave the others undone. So if Jesus said we ought to pay tithes and offering, what does that mean? We ought to pay tithes and offering. But that's no charge. But the new church, the changing church, that wants to change God's word, said you don't have to do this. Well, how many know if God says something, it's pretty much true? Right? So God said that if you don't pay your tithes and offering, can we read the beginning of the next verse together? He said, ye are what? All right, wait. Can you back that slide on the screen? All right, verse 5. Can y'all see that? Y'all want to make that bigger?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's read that together. All right. It said, if you don't pay your tithe and offer your what? Curse with a curse. And then it said, the Lord changes
not.
Amen. So part of them not doing God's word is they weren't doing tithes and offering. He said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even though that's a bad situation. He said, the whole nation has robbed me. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that we may meet in, that there may be meat in mine house. And God said, now I'm challenging you. You do what you have to do. God said, and then you can test me to see if I'll change my word, to see if I'll change my way. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of receive it. Somebody said, I've been paying my tithes and offering. Then you say on God's word, because he said he will not change. Amen. A lot of times I learned this principle from my mother and grandmother when they were sick and both in the hospital. There are times when we said, man, what do I do? Do I pay my tithes or do I pay my bills? Right, this is not for you all. This is for the internet. Because I know you all don't know me. I just got to bring this out because I'm here. Right. So I know y'all be outside the law, but for the internet, can y'all say internet? Yeah. And I'm not talking to you. Bless this you. Come on, y'all. I'm like an interactive church. We ain't come here just to hear me. Y'all can hear me anytime. Every once in a while, you want to hear yourself say amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord, right? An interactive church. But a lot of times we get in situations, like I said, I learned from my mother and grandmother. They were both in the hospital and they received their money. And you would think in a hospital, who in the world has time to worry about tithes and offerings? Really? We get offers in the hospital. I said, man, I don't have time to worry about tithes and offerings. My grandmother, we were sitting there, she said, you know, the old timers, they didn't play games when they come to God. She said, did y'all pay my tithes? You almost at the point of death. They only gave you a couple of days to live, and you worried about tithes? Say amen. I know, this is a bad topic, because you don't want to mess with money. I'm just trying to get you to get the curse off. Because God's word has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, if you don't pay it, you know, actually, when I got to this, I tried to skip over it. I skipped over this. I just used the first two verses. I just used 6 and 7. And I skipped 8, 9, and 10. God said, well, I gave it to you, you gotta use it all. I said, I don't want to use that part. But God gave it to me, so this is for somebody. On the internet. Thank God. Amen. But I learned, even my mother, when she had leukemia, and they didn't know from day to day if she was gonna make it, when she got her check, she said, did y'all pay my tithes? And you know, those two things left an impression in my mind, because I would be worried about, am I going to get better? What's God going to do to heal me? But they were worried about their tithes. You know why? Because they learned the principle. That when I'm obedient to God, I do for God, God will do for me. And my mother got to the point, she said, you know what, I'm just ready to see Jesus. She said, I'm just ready to see Jesus. She said, before I see him, make sure you open my eyes. Right? This is how the old timers thought. You know, that's how important it is to tithe off. Well, why? Because they realize when you don't do it, you're cursed with a curse. But when you honor God by paying your tithes and offering, he said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there be not room enough to receive. He said, and even with the vile coming out of the tribe, take what you have. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So God has not changed. God has the same mindset. He said, but the people of God have gone away from my word. They no longer honor my word. They no longer keep my word. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, I'm going to go through this slowly. Usually, we try to speed up. I'm going to go slow, but fast enough not to keep you too long. Amen? Let's go to Matthew, chapter 24, and we're going to read verse 35. God never changes. God's word is consistent. God will not change his word for situations. And today, what people have done is they changed God and made God fit their situations instead of them trying to fit it to the word of God. It's so important. Don't make God angry at you by disobeying his word. Amen. Verse 35 reads, heaven and earth shall... Heaven and earth. This heaven and earth, as we said, is going to pass away. He said, but my word shall not pass. Now, there are very few scriptures in the New Testament that are the same verbatim from beginning to end. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke say the exact same thing about God's word. He said, heaven and they both say, they quote them exactly. You can look it up in your spare time. In Mark 13, 31, and Luke 21, 33 says, heaven and earth, they're going to pass away, but my word shall not pass. Amen. So God's word is the same. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. God's word is never going to change for anything because his word is the same. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to go start at verse 17 for the sake of time, but let's read verse 10 and then 17. Read this, because it shows you those that says, eternal, once saved, always saved. It talks about one, those that have tasted the good word of God and fall away to renew him unto repentance again. They crucify the Son of God afresh. Anybody that's saved and go away from God, he said, you crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. I wonder if you taste the word, you saved, and you fall away and you crucify God and put him to a shame, does that sound like you eternally saved to you? That makes me wonder, right? You fall away, if you put God to shame, how are you going to make it to heaven shaming God? Amen. Just like any of us. If somebody shame us, you get angry at them. God said, well, when you fall away, when you stop honoring me by doing my word, he said, you put God to an open shame. And not only that, he said, every time you are saved and you fall away and do the wrong thing, you re-crucify God. Think about that. Every time you do it, you re-crucify God. You can read that in your own, up in the beginning of chapter 6. But verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which is shown towards his name, in that you minister to the saints and that means that you're still doing it. You know, a lot of people, we get saved and we get excited in the beginning and we minister. He said, well, if you stay faithful to God, God will not forget what you're doing. Amen. And many times we say, well, the church didn't honor me. The church didn't do this. Well, who are you doing it for, God or for the church? You know with me? I mean, I come to church. I'm not coming into church for you all, even though I'm glad you all are here. I come to church for God. And because I honor God and keep God first, God honors me. Amen. So I say, God is not unrighteous. Some people come to church and say, well, the church is nothing and God is not what he says. He said, well, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Now, if you just see a labor, right? Because there's a whole lot of people in church laboring, but it's not out of love. A lot of people in church are doing it, but they're not doing it out of love. They're doing it out of an obligation. So that nobody says anything, so that I'm in good standing. But if you do it out of love, and the only one that knows if we're doing anything for God out of obligation of love is the person that's doing it. Amen. Whatever the task is, whatever the job is, are you doing it out of obligation or are you doing it out of love? If you do it out of love, then God is not unrighteous to forget. But if you're not doing it for the right reason, God might not honor you. Amen. Then let's go down to verse 17. Now we said that his word abided forever. Amen. Verse 17 said, wherein God will he more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. That word immutable means it cannot change. God is not like us. God doesn't change his mind. Amen. His word is immutable. So because God's word is immutable, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The question is, what have we been sowing? Amen. And this is just a selah. It's a spiritual pause to reflect. What have we been sowing? God will not be mocked. Whatever we sow is what we will reap. You can't sow dishonesty and think you're going to reap honesty. You cannot sow guile and deceit and think you're going to reap the truth. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. You can't sow that I'm with you, and in my heart I'm not really with you, because God doesn't see it, man see it. Are y'all with me? God looks at the outward appearance. God, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And God said, well, you're doing that on the outside for man, but you're not doing it out of love for me, so that is not righteous. So God said, I can't under that, because you're not doing it for the right reasons. Because you will reap what you sow. And somebody said, well, that's just in the natural. He said, no, because he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit. God is so good in his word. He doesn't leave it up to guess. He doesn't leave it up to us trying to figure out. He said, now you want something from me, you got to sow in the Spirit. Because he that soweth in the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit. He that soweth in the flesh shall reap of the flesh. But when you sow in the Spirit, you reap everlasting life. But when you sow to please your flesh, you receive damnation. Right? So God said, my word hasn't changed. You can put whatever spin you want. You can go and get every version of the Bible to make it seem, God said, but I change God. I'm still God. I'm the God that declared me in from the beginning and from ancient times said, my counsel shall stand. So you change my word, God said, but I change God. Hallelujah. Yeah. us. Can we say thank you, Jesus? I need y'all coming with me now. I like this. Y'all coming with me. I like this. All right, so God said, it is impossible, verse 18 said, that by two immutable things, what are those two things? God and his word. Because the word abided forever. The word doesn't change. So if God said, now, if you stand on my word, if you stand on my promises, you don't have to worry about me changing my mind, because it's like two immutable things in which I cannot tell a lie. Anybody ever been told a lie by somebody they trusted in? How many of you, I tell you that God, when God tells you something, he says, you can bank on this to the end. He said, because I will not tell a lie. Hallelujah. He said, well, why don't you want to do this? He said, because I want you to have a strong consolation. If God doesn't change, who's changing? Right? That's not changing. Who changes? God doesn't change. Who changes? Now let's go to James chapter 1. Amen. And we're going to, for the sake of time, we're not going to read all of this. But let's go down to verse 16. Amen. There's a mindset, even with people in church, that think we can rewrite God's word. The scripture says God's word is not of any private interpretation. This is what people have messed up. Say God's word is not of any private interpretation. But when God gave his word, God gave his word, and God knew what he meant when he gave the word. But because people want to feel comfortable with what they do, and they interpret it privately, God said, no, you cannot do that. My word is my word. So verse 16 says, do not err. My beloved, what are you hearing in? Don't you hear in God's word? God's word is God's word, and he will not change. God's word is the same. He won't change for you. He won't change for me. As great as King David was, it was a man after God's own heart. When David messed up, God said, I got to hold you accountable for your wrong. And he was a man after God's own heart. David, God told him, he said, David, you messed up. So since you messed up, I have to keep my word. I know you have in my heart. I know you're going to do everything. I know you confessed it. He said, but now you got to reap what you have sown. And you are men after God's own heart. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. But when Abraham messed up, God said, now I got to hold you accountable for your wrong. Amen. Remember all the way up, Abraham believed God and Abraham doubted God. One time Abraham even told a false truth because of fear and said that Sarah is my sister and not my wife. So finally in Genesis chapter 22, God said, you know what? Abraham, you've had some challenges. Any of y'all had some challenges? I know I got some. I'm going to raise my hand. And somebody said, if I could, I'd never tell you. I had some challenges. I have been right and I have been wrong. Amen. I'm not going to ever say I've been perfect. I've had been right. I've been wrong. Hallelujah. I've had challenges. So Abraham had challenges. So God said, okay, Abraham, finally in Genesis chapter 22, he said, now I'm going to prove you to see whether you love me or not. He said, now this is the ultimate test. He said, you know your son, your only son, who you love? He said, I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice him to me. We said, wait a minute. After all these years, God still don't know if Abraham loves him or not more than Isaac. God said, well, I'm going to prove you. Well, why did God have to prove Abraham? Because he kept messing up. So when we mess up, God said, I have to prove you. And then God tells us in Malachi, he said, I want you to also prove me. And y'all follow me? So God told Abraham, I'm going to prove you to see if you really love me more than your son Isaac. He said, I want you to do something that the scripture says you're not supposed to do. Because the children of Israel weren't supposed to sacrifice their children. Well, how many know when you're just obedient to God? You don't have to figure out what God is doing or they weren't supposed to sacrifice their children. But we all with God. And when you finally sow that, when it's no more about you and what I want and what I want to do, you say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'll be obedient. Lord, I don't understand the direction you're taking me, but I'll be obedient. Well, somebody said, why do you want to be obedient? Because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So when you do it for the right reason, God said, even if you look like you're going to mess up, he said, I'll take the crooked thing and I'll make it straight because I'm God. So he took Abraham out and Abraham went all the way. Somebody said, well, that's just for the test. The Bible said, when Abraham lifted up the knife to slay his son, God called to him from heaven. You know, that's something, right? He didn't send an angel for this job. He didn't send a prophet for this job. God said, you've been obedient, so will you be obedient to me? I'm not going to send somebody else. He said, I'm going to talk to you for myself. That's why we got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying to the church. The Bible said God called Abraham out of heaven. Anybody want God to call you from heaven? God, if you call me from heaven, even I don't understand it. Lord, even though I can't figure it out, when you call me from heaven, I know you're about to do something. Right? Anybody want God to just call my name? Reason saying, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Amen. The Bible said, call Abraham out of heaven. He said, Abraham, don't slay this child. Amen. The thing that he wasn't supposed to listen, a lot of times we get messed up in church. Any of y'all been in church for a little while? Y'all been in church again? You know, when you're in church for a long time, you're like, God says do this, God says do this. No, God said, I want you. And point like this right here. There ain't nobody else but you. God said, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. And a lot of times God speaks to us and we do like this. God speaks to you and you're like, no, that's me. Oh, no, that's her. God said, no, I'm speaking to you. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. But then we hear it, can you imagine having that just, how many of us love our children? Now, we know none of us ain't going to sacrifice our child. Right? We love our children. You're not going to sacrifice your child. Why would God ask Abraham to do something that immoral and that something that's contrary to his word? Because he's God. And God allows a lot of times when he speaks to, a lot of times we hear God speak to us. And we'd be like, Peter was when the Lord said, he said, when you were young, you did what you wanted to do.
Right.
He said, when you get older, somebody's going to take you and do something to you that you don't want to do. He was talking to Peter about him giving his life as a martyr for Christ.
Right.
So the Lord is talking to Peter, and Peter said, well, what about John? God said, I'm not talking to you about John. I'm talking to you about you. He said, I'm not talking to you about John. Peter, I'm talking to you about you. That's why we got to have an ear to hear when God is speaking to us. He said, and what does it matter to you? If he tarry till I come, he said, what is that concerning you? He said, right now I'm speaking to you. And right now God is speaking to you. What we do in church, can I tell y'all what we do in church? I'm in church too. So what I say to one, I say to me. What we do in church when God speaks, man, we can't wait to go tell somebody what God said to them. And they weren't even in church. You ever have people like, God was speaking to you. God wasn't speaking to them. God was speaking to you. Right? But because you don't want to have an ear to be sensitive to God and to do what God tells you to do, you say, oh no, God was speaking to such and such. Because I know their lifestyle. So I know who God was speaking to. God said, no, I'm trying to bring your self-righteousness. I'm trying to bring do you know sometimes in church you get righteous? You know some people in church that is so righteous? Alright, I see. Alright. Some people are so righteous in church. Mess up. I can do what I want to do. I'm righteous. And God's mercy and grace is there. He's going to forgive me. You know, I was telling my wife, I don't want to deviate too far, but I was telling my wife earlier this week, I said, you know what? I want y'all to pull out that camera that y'all have been carrying. Y'all thought I forgot about the camera, right? Remember, some of y'all right here, I said, we put a body cam on y'all about 2 weeks ago. And the body cam is monitoring everything that you said, done, and acted for the last 2 weeks. Can y'all give me those body cameras? We're going to put them on the screen. And we're going to see how you acted.
All right.
For the last.
All right.
I told my wife, I said, man, I don't know how I'm going to get these body cameras out. Because it's a spiritual body camera.
Yes.
I said, I don't know how to get it out. I said, but I think people really need to see how they have been acting in God. So God can see how you acted for the last. When things didn't go your way, did you handle it like God? Or would a body camera show something different? Not that we want to dramatize it, but it's just like the shooting in Chicago when they shot the man 16 times. They said, if it wasn't for the dash camera, the story would have changed. Right? That's what they said. It took them a whole year to reveal what the dash camera said. Because they were trying to change the story.
Yes.
But they couldn't change the story. Right? Because the dash camera did not lie. So what did they have to do? They had to bring the officer up on murder charges. Because the camera did not. And this is a serious sign, even though I'm being facetious. Turn back your camera. I'm not taking it back along just for the last 2 weeks. How have you handled situations? The way, would God be honored in what you said? Would God be honored in what you did? Would God be honored in the way that you handle situations? Amen. It's like yesterday I said, Deacon George and I'm going to use myself. Can I use myself as an example? Because if I can't live it, then I can't teach it. So we were trying to get a commercial snowboard for the church. And I've been emailing this guy all week, and we made an appointment for me to be there yesterday in Saratoga at 3:30. So we drove the 40 miles to Saratoga, looked all over, couldn't find the man, and the man came out and said, oh, you're late, I sold the snowboard. I was like, what? The flesh started to get up, started to act up. You know what I'm saying? We drove 40 miles. We just communicated four times today. You didn't tell me nobody else was coming. Then when I get there, you said, and he didn't even take time. He said, oh, you're here for the snowboard? Yeah, I sold it in half an hour. I was like, what? Then I got the two. You know what I said? I had to catch myself. Because my body camera. Right? My body camera. Right? It's like I had a situation with my wife this morning. I said, you know what? That was a little thing, but the body camera. Right? Seriously, man. That body camera, I ain't lying. I gotta go there and teach today. It's a little thing. What body camera? That thing was messing me up. It was messing me up. When I said one thing, but I kind of twisted it a little bit, but then it sounded true, right? True story. This morning I was sitting there praying, the body camera started flashing. I was like, you know, Lord, that ain't such a big thing anyway. It ain't nothing that serious. That's what I was saying. I just said, can I tell my story? I said, Lord, that ain't nothing that serious. That's a little thing. But the body camera was beating me up. So I had to call the 8 o'clock. I said, you know what? The body camera exposed me. What I told you last night wasn't 100% true. There's an ounce of false in it. I said, well, at first I said, well, you know what? I'll build it up like this. It won't sound that bad. I said, you know what? I ain't going to build this body camera. I'm just going to tell the truth and keep going. I want you to look at your body camera. The way we handle situations, the way we react, the things that we said that weren't altogether true. Well, we have not yet made them right. You know what I mean? I'm talking. Now, like I said, this man yesterday, I said, so on the way home, I prayed for a minute. Deacon George is my witness. You know, God always had to have one somebody there so they can watch. I said, I'm going to see what he's going to do. So Deacon George, I said, well, we'll pray. I said, well, God had us come here for some reason. So I prayed, and I was not too happy. So the guy had a nerve to send me an email later saying, well, such and such. You know, which somebody, you know, you've been dealing with somebody the whole week and four times that day and have all this stuff. Who want to hear excuses? Right? You ever get to the point? You don't want to hear no excuses. All right, y'all better than me. I ain't want to hear no excuses. So when he emailed me, I said, yeah, I'm about to email you back, buddy. I said, well, God bless you. Things like that happen, you have a blessed day. You know why? The body camera. Guess who would have known what happened? Only that man, myself, and Deacon George, who was watching every move I made. But more importantly, God was watching me. God has not changed. His ways have not changed. But we've made God fit our situation, even though we can be dead wrong. So we say, well, God, I just want you to fix this situation, even though I know I was wrong. That's bad when you say, I know I was wrong. But I'm still going to stay in my own way to do it my way. God got so mad at the children of Judah. He was quiet for how long?
400 years.
Do like this. 400. Y'all, at least y'all know something. How long is this? 400 years. Well, why was he mad at for 40 years? Because they would not do what he said, did it. Instead of getting better, they got worse. Amen. In closing, let's go to James chapter 1. We're talking about God and how God does not change. God is a constant. James chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 17. We already read verse 16. He said, do not err, my beloved. God doesn't want us to be in error. God wants us to do what's right. God wants us to do what is in honor of him. But if you don't do any, if you don't do it sincerely and truthfully, it is not right. If you don't do it sincerely and truthfully, it's not right. Then if you do something wrong and you think you're getting by with it, God says you are in error. Right? Because what determines if we are right or wrong? God's word. Not what we think, not our impression, all right? So he said, every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above, from the what? All the light before me is no. God does not change. God is consistent. No variableness, neither shadow of turning. God said, don't make a mistake. Don't err. Don't go the wrong way. He said, I will not change. I'm going to be the same as we all stand. God has not changed. I pray that sometime between now and as our day progresses, as the elders and ministers and all the workers come forward, that we review our own personal body camera. If you just take a moment every day to review your camera, the things that you do wrong, you will make them right. The actions that dishonor God, you will clean them up. Will you watch the body camera? Now on the flip side, if you don't want to honor your body camera on the day of judgment, the Bible, listen, on the day of judgment, Bible says anything that we've done in our body, good and bad, God is going to bring it up on the day of judgment. So the things that you don't get right now, on the day of judgment, the Bible said, woe to them, their sins follow them up. Don't be stubborn. Don't be so self-willed that you fight against God. Don't fight God because God already knows. It's so important today. I want to examine myself. The Bible says, let a man examine himself and let them see if they're either faith or not. It's all about proving and pleasing God. Examine yourself. Examine your action. Examine what you've done. Examine how you handle situations. Will God be glorified in how you handle these situations? Will God be glorified in your responses? Though you may have had the right to act a certain way, will God be glorified tomorrow, today, before we do anything? Take a moment and say, wait a minute. How does God see my actions? How does God see my reactions? God sits high and looks low, and he's watching everything we say. Somebody said, well, I didn't say it. God knows even the thoughts in our tongue before we think them or far off. Be real with God. Trust God.